Welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show. This podcast is sponsored by Scale Up Consulting, helping FinTech startups create a scalable organization to support an ever-increasing demand. When you're ready to grow, reach out to us at richard@scaleupconsulting.co. Now, over to the show with Richard Doty, founder and host. Hey, what's up, everyone? Today on the show, we have Michael Mayer, co-founder of Workwise. Prior to launching Workwise, Michael worked actually across fintech. So he's worked in the actual business of fintech. He's also worked as a consultant and in private equity. So really cool to have you on the show today, Michael. And just for our listeners, this is not a fintech, by the way, but this solution popped out of me and I just love it. And I think you guys will love it as well. So we're going to get into some detail about what the solution is, but also, obviously, as we always do, talk about the background and the journey and what have you. So, Michael, awesome to have you on the show. How's everything going in Amsterdam today?
Yeah, Richard, first of all, thank you. Thanks a lot for the invitation. Very excited to be here. And, it's good here in Amsterdam, although the weather is not great again. But I heard from you that in London it's similar.
Hey, man, no, let's not talk about the weather, right? Yeah. And let's kick off. Let's jump into it. And as I said, always, I like to give my listeners a bit of background to not just the company, but to you, to the founder of the company. So what I'd like to do as a start off is go back a few steps before we get into who and what Workwise does, and just give us a bit of the insights as to maybe the early part of your career, and also how this has helped you in building up Workwise.
Yeah, definitely. The early part of my career started when I finished college. I studied data science and econometrics here in Amsterdam, and then I did a master's in finance in London. And then first I started off at Morgan Stanley, the private equity team of Morgan Stanley, which was, a great experience. First of all, to live and work in London was a great start for my career. Really enjoyed working with my colleagues there. And also, I think the nice thing about working at Morgan Stanley was that you get a really good overall view of the economy, of different companies. You see a lot of pitch decks. So that gave me some great insights. But then after a while, I sort of decided that I would really like to be more working inside a company and see more how people work together and how processes work within a company. So then I decided to go into consulting, and I worked a couple of years at McKinsey as a strategy consultant. And the nice thing here was indeed that I did a lot of different projects in the IT sector, but also in the chemical sector, in the food sector, even in the aerospace. It was really great to sort of be at another company each month or sometimes other month. So this was a great experience. Sometimes you had a finance project, sometimes sort of to optimize an IT system. So to do this for a couple of years gave me a great overview of the different processes within the companies. But then later on, I sort of felt that I wanted to be even more within a company, because consulting is great, but yeah, you sort of skip a project each 2 or 3 months, and then you go to a new project. What really wanted to have the experience to be at one company for a couple of years. So then I actually started working for Bookru, and Bookru is a Dutch payment service provider and a software developer. And at Bookru, I had the opportunity to start a new team, to start a new division, which was the white label division, which was called Edity. And well, this gave me sort of the insights in sort of how to manage a team, how to start a new project, how to start a new team within a company. But also Bookru as a whole still had like the startup environment where you can sort of just pop up ideas, then pitch it to someone, pitch it to the CEO. And if he said, well, that's actually a good idea, then you actually got the opportunities to sort of work it out yourself. And this really helped me. Also, now if I look back at my experience at Bookru, this also really helped to start my company Workwise together with three colleagues. Because at Bukuru, I really learned to sort of how to go from an idea to really work it out and make it operational. So then actually, 6 months ago, we launched WorkWise. And that's where we are right now.
Oh, awesome. And you mentioned that at Bukuru, you got given the ecosystem and the opportunity to go from coming up with an idea and then getting it out into the market and getting it operational. I mean, what did that look like? I was wondering, what is the process that you went through in order to go from idea to actually getting some good traction in the market?
Yeah. So do you mean for what I did at Bukuru or more what we are currently doing at WorkWise?
At Bukuru.
At Bukuru. Yeah. So actually, when I started at Bukuru, I just quit at McKinsey. So I'd learned to make some data analysis, and McKinsey also was a great sort of school to make sure that you have a structured mind and that you know how to sort of structure a project. So the nice thing was when I started at Bukuru, the first few months, I was also focused on sort of reevaluating their business plan, investigating new market opportunities, helping the CEO and his team to sort of work out different plans and ideas that they had. Mm. And then after the first couple of months, we had sort of like 10 different projects that we wanted to do. This was really a broad range. So it was from sort of developing new products to going into new markets, but also starting new teams for white label, for example. Yeah. So this was actually one of the projects that I identified in my first couple of months. And then sort of I presented it to the CEO and the whole management team. And everybody was very enthusiastic about sort of building this idea out into like a separate team within Bukuru. And then it actually went from more a strategy project into an operational project, where we sort of started off with designing a website, designing a sort of the go-to-market strategy, making sure that we had enough resources to sort of hit the ground running. And the really nice thing here was that it, in a way, it was really a startup, because it was not like, okay, we have to overanalyze everything and then we start doing it. It was really like, okay, we'll just try something, reach out to companies, get into a discussion with them, find out what works. Mm-hmm. And then some things didn't work. And then we sort of pivoted away and sort of refined our sort of go-to-market. And in the end, after a couple of months, we sort of we started acquiring our first couple of clients. And then sort of the ball started rolling.
Oh, nice. Awesome. And go-to-market strategy. I mean, what does that, a lot of people talk about, is what does that actually entail in this instance? What did it look like?
Yeah. So to sort of go back indeed to like the time at Bukuru, is that how we thought about the go-to-market strategy, there were two opportunities to sort of acquire new customers. It was the direct channels and the indirect channels. Yeah. And what we sort of found out as a great go-to-market strategy is that we could also acquire new clients through an indirect channel. So we decided not to go towards the end customer, who would in the end actually use the product that we would sell, but we would sort of go to resellers. And the nice thing there was that we went to, for example, accounting software platforms and to other software platforms, and we identified different kinds of software markets. And it actually took some time there to sort of acquire our first partner. But the nice thing was that when we acquired our first couple of partners, we could sort of train their salespeople to start selling our product. And this was really nice for them, because we sort of helped our customers in becoming more like a one-stop shop. And it was also really nice for us, because the cost of acquiring a new customer was very low. And this go-to-market strategy of this indirect channel, we're now actually leveraging this also with WorkWise, with our new startup, where we also have a very strong partner base who are also selling our products.
Cool. That sounds pretty impressive. I guess we can dive into some more detail on that in a few minutes. And you obviously had some great experience at Bukuru, and the light bulb moment must have gone off at some point, and the idea of WorkWise came about. I mean, how did that idea actually come about?
Yeah, so how did we actually found the problem was or found the opportunity actually was that I think it was the summer of 2020, so probably like June, July 2020, and we were already working from home a couple of months, because we were a couple of months in the pandemic. And then we sort of started thinking about okay, how is this working from home actually working for us? And I started wrapping a couple of friends and a couple of colleagues, and we started discussing with them, like, okay, what do we like about working from home and what do we don't like about working from home? Mm. And how it will look like after the pandemic, after we can actually can go back to a normal world, or are we not going back to a normal world?
Yeah.
And then we sort of started discussing, and then we actually found out that we really liked working from home because, well, we didn't need to travel anymore. For example, when I worked at McKinsey, I was in a plane 2 times a week. It took a lot of time to get to the client and to get back home. And when I worked at Bukaroo, I lived in Amsterdam, but I worked in Utrecht. Yeah. And I had to go to the clients often.
Yeah.
So usually at least 2 hours a day, I was actually traveling.
Yeah.
So I really like working from home because it saved me 2 hours. Also, it meant that sometimes, well, I could concentrate better, and therefore I was more effective as an employee of the group. But at the same time, we also found out that we missed our colleagues. We missed sort of the small little chats. We missed the opportunity just being able to walk into somebody's office. So we also saw the disadvantages. Mm. And then we sort of started discussing, okay, what would the ideal world look like post-pandemic? And then we sort of decided on the hybrid model of working, where you sort of have the freedom as an employee to go to the office or to go to a co-working place when you need to. For example, when you want to have a creative session with your colleagues, but also if you have the opportunity and the freedom to work from home when you want to, because, well, it can be more effective. It's also more flexible. You can sort of grab your kids back from school and then work a bit later. You know, we really like that flexibility and that freedom. Yeah. And when we decided on this, we sort of started having interviews with a lot of companies. Yeah. I think in the end, we interviewed more than 100 different companies. And then we found out what the different pain points were for the type of model of working. Because almost all the companies we talked to said, had the same opinion as us, that post-pandemic, there would be a hybrid model working. But at the same time, they had really a lot of pain points on how to sort of implement this. Mm. Yeah, that's how we sort of came up with the platform of WorkWise.
Awesome. And we talk about this hybrid model, obviously going into the office and also working from home. So how does WorkWise actually help and facilitate that hybrid model?
So if you look at the old world versus the new world, like how we sort of support companies in the hybrid model working.
Yeah.
In the old world, you had a procurement of a company that was all centralized. So it was all at the office.
Yeah.
For example, you had an IT manager who bought all kinds of IT products, such as monitors, laptops, keyboards.
Yeah.
And he or she bought 1,000 new laptops and lets it delivered to the office. At the same time, you have the facility manager who orders new chairs, new desks, and he or she can order it to the office. So everything that a company was using and all the expenses that were being made were centralized.
Yeah.
And now we live in a more of a decentralized world where employees also work from home. They have very different homes, different home situations. Some people have their own workplace or their own workroom at home. Some people work in the living room. So the sort of the desires that people have and the needs that people have to work well from home are very different.
Mm.
And how WorkWise helps companies with this is that we build a procurement platform where not only the IT manager or the facility manager can log in, but all the employees of a company have their own login.
Okay.
Then the IT manager or facility manager can sort of manage their people by deciding on the products that they can order, deciding on the different services that they can acquire through the platform. They can also decide on the budget that everybody receives.
Yeah.
But then in the end, the empowerment is at the employees because they can decide what they can actually order in the end. And then if they order products, we make sure that the fulfillment is being done through our partners.
Okay, and what products are we actually going to be ordering from? Are we thinking like laptops, screens, those type of things? So I'm just imagining a situation where I'm a new employee, I go to a new company and, you know, I want to be onboarded and I need to get kit. And I feel like you guys are the portal to help me get kit from home. Is that correct?
Definitely, definitely. So we have full support in the on and offboarding of new employees.
Yeah.
So for example, if you onboard a new employee and this employee works from home, we can make sure that 2 weeks before somebody starts, They receive a Workwise account. They can order their mobile phone with a subscription. They can order their laptop, their keyboard, their mouse, but their whole workplace, also their chair, their desk. And we actually come to the employee at home and we make sure that somebody sits very economically so that this person can work well from home. So that's one part. That's the onboarding part. But then we also have the offboarding part, because when people are leaving your company, they still have a lot of products from the company. So they have to give back the laptop, the mobile phone subscription and other. And then the Workwise platform makes it very simple, because you can see from each employee what products needs to be delivered back to the office or to the company itself. So we have the full on and offboarding support. But then again, there's more expenses or more sort of products and services that we offer through the platform, because we also want to offer mobility services. For example, leasing a car, leasing a bicycle. We can offer all different products, team building support that we want to deliver. If as a company, for example, you want to support in also giving some food and beverages to your employees, it can all be done through one place. And this can be the Workwise platform.
You like the app store for companies. You can just pick and select what you want. I mean, it's a pretty cool idea, right?
Yeah, and we also really want to be independent in that way, because we also now have some customers that actually would like to onboard their own suppliers. So sometimes our customers say, well, we actually already have a great IT supplier who delivered all products to the office, but they don't have a great way to deliver it to our people at home. And then we can onboard their IT supplier or their mobility supplier, and then they can actually order products and services from their own suppliers.
Okay, so bear with me. I'm new to this. So how does it work in the background? You know, I get you have the portal, and me as a new user, I'm going to be ordering stuff, whether it's training or whether it's bicycle or whether it's laptop. But in the background, the logistics, how have you gone about setting that up and making certain that you're able to take a product from a warehouse or a supplier and then get it to obviously me in this instance?
Yeah. Well, we have our supplier base that we've already onboarded into the platform, and we have partnerships together with a couple of the largest suppliers in the office space in Europe and even beyond. So we work together with suppliers who already have an operational system for the last 4 years. So they have warehouses in each country. They have a system where they can sort of deliver all the products to the employees at home. So we work together with a lot of suppliers and a lot of operational companies. Yeah. And therefore, together with them, we make sure that all the products that you order as an employee are delivered to your place at home. So you as an employee, you only get one sort of harmonized experience. Even if you order 10 different products from 5 different suppliers, you will only have to deal with Workwise. You only see the Workwise branding. So if you have a question regarding the product or something is not working well, or you don't know how to set something up, you can always reach out to us. Well, we build a great customer service team, and we will always help you to make sure that the service is great.
Okay. And as you built up the front end, i.e. the platform and the back end, the logistics, I mean, how have you gone through and made certain that the system, firstly, works, and then secondly, there's a fit in the market?
Yeah, so how we built the system is we sort of looked at the different pain points that we discovered during our interviews. Yeah. And then we sort of we first designed like a front-end platform, which would sort of solve these pain points. Yeah. So for example, we found out this decentralized system. So we sort of designed a platform with 3 different levels, where you have like employee accounts. Yeah. You have an employer account, for example, for an IT and for a facility manager or for an HR manager. But we also have like supplier accounts, where it is very easy to sort of onboard new products.
Yeah.
We first designed all this front end, and then we sort of started also building the back end, where we sort of built different API connections to our partners to make sure that if we get an order from an employee, we split the order between the different suppliers, and we make sure that all the orders are delivered to the order systems of the suppliers. So that's a bit how we built the system.
Okay. And you mentioned that you've done a number of interviews with prospective clients and what have you. What are the things that you go through to make certain that your product did fit the market pain points and the market actually wanted it?
So I think there was this interview phase before we actually started building the product itself. So then we sort of more had an interview around how do you think about the future work? How do you want your employees to work in not tomorrow, but in 2 or 3 years? And then we sort of sketched out and we found out that the only thing that was sort of continuous throughout each company is that everybody know that they have a lot of different employees, and some employees don't want to work 5 days a week from home. Some employees only want to work 2 days from home. So we sort of found out that we needed to build like a very flexible platform where you sort of can design the different roles, you can design the different needs of the employees, you can really make it as flexible as possible and decide on different budgets, different products. So that was at the start of it. And now we sort of make sure that we regularly talk to our customers, to the end users, especially to the end users. We make sure that we know whether they like the platform, what kind of features they want to have in the future, what kind of products they're missing, what kind of services they're missing. And we really make sure that we sort of build new features that our clients also want.
And I was wondering, I mean, you mentioned earlier that you're leveraging sort of the reseller or partner model. I was wondering what else you're doing to sort of generate demand and also obviously sales as you build up your business.
So indeed, I already told you a bit about our indirect channels or our partner channel. We also have a very important direct channel. And well, we do that through different things. We sort of organize webinars where we sort of try to find out also in the market what are the pain points. We give demos of the platform to show how we can elevate these pain points. We try to basically talk to as much as HR managers, facility managers, procurement managers in the industry. And we try to sort of show them how Workwise could also make their job better and easier. Because a lot of these procurement managers or facility managers, for them, it's also new to have the sort of the liability or the responsibility, I mean, to sort of make sure that everybody works well from home. So they're also still very looking like, how can we solve this problem in the future? And we just try to talk to as much of them as possible through webinars, through LinkedIn, through our website, give demos, and then through that, try to start pilots with new customers.
And I mean, you mentioned webinars, you mentioned LinkedIn. I mean, how do you actually use those digital channels? I mean, is it a case of building an outreach or an inbound part that you make certain that you get the right, maybe community, for want of a better word, that's engaging with you and your content?
Yeah, exactly. Community building is very important because, well, it's one thing to sort of call the reach out to people, but people, even team users, are not always straight away willing to sort of talk to you. And it's also really important to give them something even before the selling process starts. So, for example, we give a lot of information and a lot of help regarding, for example, the taxes that are behind working from home, different rules, the different government rules that work with working from home. And then we sort of try to give them as much information and as much as value to them even before starting the selling process. And then if they see us as partners who can support them in the hybrid model of working, even without our platform, then we build like communities through LinkedIn, through other platforms. And then you can also use this community to sort of start selling processes, because if these customers who you are already in contact with want to try a new platform for the hybrid model of working, then they know which platform to look for.
No, I hear you. And it makes complete sense, right? And as you started obviously building the business, what structures or processes or maybe even systems are you looking at and prioritizing to make certain that you set off on the right foot?
Yeah, I think first of all, what is good to mention is that we're still very much a startup. So we still have every month that we sort of have to take a step back, look at the processes that we now have, and we're still refining them on a continuous basis, to be honest. But there are a couple of processes that we sort of are focusing on right now. For example, the sales processes that I've just described to the indirect channel through the direct channel. That's something that is very important to have a straight view on. But then also the onboarding of new clients. There's also a very important process. Because, for example, one of our customers, Molly, they went live almost 2 months ago, and they went live in 7 different countries with other employees. So then it's very important to have a very sort of structured process where you know which suppliers are delivering in each of the countries. You have to have a very structured process in where the client knows exactly what to expect, knows exactly when the live date is, what steps need to be taken before the live date. And to be honest, I think we already figured it out how to make it quite efficient. Like from signing to going live is usually like a 3-week process, but I think we can even make it shorter and we can even make it more effective. So in the future, this is definitely something we can make even better. And I think a third one, which is very important, is the customer service process. Because when end customers, when employees of our customers are using the platform, it is very important for us that they have a great experience. And even if, for example, something goes wrong, even if the product doesn't work, it's very important that the service is top-notch and that they should always have the feeling that they're being helped in the right way. So we've set up very strict processes in how we help our end customer.
And as you mentioned, there's a lot going on, and obviously you're a startup, you're sort of 9 months old. There's a lot of things moving, a lot of parts moving. But how have you, in this environment, how are you approaching making decisions?
So I think one of the big thing that I've learned in the last couple of months is that we are with 4 co-founders. And the most important thing when starting a new business is having trust in each other. And this is really true because there's more decisions coming up each week than you can even process. So there's not a way you can sort of evaluate all the different decisions that need to be taken, sort of encapsulate all the information that you need to have to make the right decision, and then also make the decision. So what is really important is have discussions with each other, have radically open discussions with each other, are not afraid to sort of point out if you don't agree with each other, but in the end, have trust in each other that, for example, if we have a discussion around tech, I can sort of criticize my colleague, but Sebastian, our CTO, in the end, he makes the end decision on our tech. And that is really important because otherwise decision-making is not efficient enough. And you also sort of have to realize that you cannot make the best decision always. It's better to make decisions, faults, and to sort of to quickly find out that you made the bad decision and change the decision in a couple of weeks. It's better this than sort of wait with making decisions. So I think what we did, the 4 co-founders sort of decided on the different fields and the different responsibilities that we have. And we always have great discussions about it. But in the end, there's only one person that is responsible for a certain decision.
Yeah, I like that approach. At least it gives clarity, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And as you move forward and as you continue obviously growing and expanding, what questions are you and your co-founders asking yourselves, and what factors are you considering as you move on and grow?
Yeah, I think one big question that is always interesting when you start in a tech company is you want to serve your customers as well as possible. Yeah. But at the same time, you want to remain as scalable as possible. And sometimes it's very hard to let these two coexist, because you always get customers with very specific questions and very specific needs. And the first reaction is to sort of say yes to everything. But if you're not careful, you build very specific solutions that cannot be reused for other customers. So one of the questions that we're always trying to solve is, okay, this customer wants to have this, so let's try to give them this. But at the same time, let's try to build it in a scalable way. Let's try to build it in a way that we can reuse it to other customers. Just to give an example of it, very recently we've onboarded a new customer that requested us to have the Workwise branding, but at the same time to also have it a bit white labeled into their branding. And until recently, we didn't build this yet, but instead of building it very much for them, so building it with their logo, with their colors, we sort of build a system where you can really easily sort of customize it for each customer. And this is really important because that way your client is happy, they get what they want, but at the same time, you build a solution that you can scale to other customers as well.
Yeah, some really salient points. And as we come to the end of the podcast, I always like to ask my guests, what books or what podcasts are they listening to increase their knowledge? And you think it would be important for our listeners who are either scaling or in the cusp of scaling?
Yeah, there's one book I'm reading now, which is called Principles of Ray Dalio. Well, you probably know Ray Dalio, and I think most of your listeners know him as well. Well, for first, I think he's a very respectable person. Yeah. So it's a great book to get insights into, well, how he did what he did and where he came from. And it's a very open book, so that's really nice. But what is also really cool about this book is that he sort of describes his principles for his personal life, but especially his principles for his professional life. And he sort of made very strict rules that worked for him in his professional life. And it's really great to sort of read these principles and not just to copy them, but to think about what could be my principles in my professional life and what principles should I live by to whatever happens. And this is a really interesting thing. One principle that he mentions actually is radical transparency within a company. Well, he manages his company, Bridgewater, in a radical, open-minded and transparent way. And this means that everybody always has to be honest and open to each other. You have to challenge each other, and everybody should always try to find the best solution possible instead of staying in his or her own beliefs. And this is something that I try to live by, but also I try to have a company work-wise that also live by this principle.
Awesome. I quite like that principle, actually. And as we log off, I mean, how can listeners and followers of the show contact you and the team at Workwise?
Yeah, so please follow us on LinkedIn, Workwise, and also reach out to us on our website, goworkwise.com. Please check us out. If you like us, you can schedule a demo. We can show you the platform. Yeah. We can show you what it can do for your company. But happy to have chat with everybody that's interested.
Yeah, awesome. And just to end it off, it's been amazing the show today. And as I said at the top of the show, not a fintech, but I think for everyone out there that's thinking of a hybrid model, you know, it's something to really consider. Take a look at what these guys are doing. It's some cool tech. It's just going to help you, right? So why not reach out? And listen, mate, it's been an awesome show today. I've really enjoyed it and looking forward to chatting soon.
Thank you so much, Richard. It was great to talk to you.